what if
our daughter is a physical therapist, so
I went to that, you know, across New York.
Oh, we were in Louisville, actually.
18 years.
Yeah, we made up our house.
Kevin's there. That's great. Our daughter's like,
I don't think so.
That was kind of the same thing.
Right.
But she spent it off on him.
I know.
You won't do it.
Yeah. At least he's been a little bit better.
Anybody in
the must really sure.
That's when you know. Dr. Kamali here was down here while we were loading the golf out. So while I was finished loading, he went to see the doctor. He really likes Dr. Kamali. He said, the doctor said, how old are you? Don't you know that you shouldn't be doing this?
Yeah,
that sounds like a kid.
Anyway, you get that. He's got a big kick out of that. He's still repeating that line.
My kid's only 10 years old. Yeah. So are you?
I have one who thinks I can't walk across the street by myself.
Oh,
yeah.
He is getting better. He now lets me lift things like luggage out of the trunk and that kind of stuff. He's just reluctant. If anybody's around, you know, he still doesn't want to do it. But if it was just us, he's decided that maybe that's the better way to do it.
So
it's just bothering me. Just hurts his pride.
Got to the entertainment center that day. Take the quiz.
You will.
Hey, Jane.
55. No.
Oh.
So
oh.
No, he won't.
Said I'm 17.
Yeah.
An alternate beneficiary.
I haven't gotten that part yet. That's coming.
Got a practical.
My daughter's 50. Goes, well, you can put me in the Wi-Fi.
I don't care what happens. It's their problem.
And now if something happens,
all this equipment and you can't hook up.
My granddaughters will be.
I'm hooked up 90% of the way. I just don't have an audio feed.
Anybody that can lift things wirelessly is good.
Well, no, and actually, if they're on YouTube, it's not a problem. It's if they're just streaming the audio, and I run that out of my internet connection at home.
I guess that's all right. They were together 15 years.
Holy crap.
Four children.
Hold on.
Daughters.
Amazing. Can
you believe it?
Split screen.
Yeah, it's a split screen. I call it a group shot. It's got three different cameras.
Trust them about that property here. Solve the problem. I said, this is...
We're looking good. What did you bring? Cheryl's.
Wow, there we go. Community.
I just didn't want to play it over
anything. When she went in to renew hers, asked her if she wanted
something.
Interesting. And what were you guys?
She was adding minutes.
She's adding minutes to prepay.
Yeah. And
communicate.
You hand it to him. She scans it. Your phone number comes up, and you can point to the one. There you go.
So you don't have to worry about not. You don't have to worry about them getting the wrong information.
Well, or trying to tell them what your phone number is.
Right.
She just hands it in. Doesn't matter where she pops up.
That's great.
Points to the thing, gives them the money, and the phone ring says, "Hey, here's all your special offers yet again."
We got set up with a phone, and we forgot to put money on it when we bought the prepay.
Oh yeah.
So we had to go back and put money on it. And then we didn't get any message. I'm like, as far as I understand, we're supposed to get a message. And eventually the phone just worked. We never got a message.
Oh,
we got a ring.
That's what Cheryl always knows. You know, like you, as soon as you pay, you come to about five, and up comes the phone.
Right.
And we go home, we let the minutes lapse or whatever, come back, first of all, we pass, come down from the thigh, like, hand them this, hand them 200 pesos, and we're off. Same number.
Oh, there she is. And you guys didn't know we were waiting until my family to get here so we could start. No, the kids are off from school for carnival. Hey, baby. Here, wave to the camera. So yeah, they're off for school for carnival, and so Yuya decided to come and bring them along so we could listen to Marco.
My mom is so nasty. Time to become a
computer. As soon as possible. Yeah, Jim had gotten a hold of them, and he was going to head over here as soon as he dropped people off at Jim's place.
That's quite good. Headphones. Youngest one.
You like that?
Something I used to have.
Well, those are just audio headphones, but I thought you were referring to Emily.
Well, I saw them the
other day.
Yeah, cat ears. At least they're not bunny ears.
Right.
I don't want bunny ears. We were at the art show last night. The artist there is a former playboy.
At the art show?
Yeah. But he had lots of stuff.
And I didn't give any of them anything. Should we go to the gallery or
yeah.
somewhere else?
No, at the gallery. He has a place here somewhere on the earth. I don't think he lives here permanently.
No, forever.
I saw they have sign
The balloon dropped the art shows on. And the cheap wine flows. But it's not bad. You can choke it down.
Well, you know something about it. Could be worse.
After the first two, it doesn't matter anyway. It does not offend my palate.
The only white wine that I can find out is we like is boxes.
Yeah, box of wine.
Anchorage, Alaska, a school called Stellar.
Okay.
I wonder if I would have survived and been successful if I didn't have an alternative environment to learn in, because I was not successful in traditional schools. I actually took 6 months and moved over to a traditional school to see how well I would fare, and it was not the way that I
didn't like making it
to
a classroom.
My grandson has just been accepted
at
Kyoto.
Worse.
And
it was
a nice school there.
Okay.
Chose it because of Nintendo.
It's
there.
Because of Nintendo, yeah.
And he's a that's what he does apart.
So it'll be interesting to see if he doesn't leave the work.
It'll be interesting to see when he gets back what that was like. Yeah, really. He decided to double major in Asian studies and IT. That sounds like a safe area to work in. Well, I don't know. He's a sophomore year, so he's in college. So he's excited about it. He's been taking Japanese for 3 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Maybe we'll find out about what's going on over there as part of this.
Yeah, they're very cool.
I can't believe he did it. No,
I didn't. Is it virtual reality?
Well, I believe so.
I'm just curious of what you're doing is you're sitting around in a circle watching people on their computers. Even if it was virtual reality, you'd be watching them with goggles on.
There's that kind of thing. There's guys who race drones.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't think this is it.
The video game.
The video game
No, I hadn't heard anything about
Fox. That's what they call it.
Esports. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Where's
in Vegas? I have to go back and, you know, I kind of went through it on Facebook or something. Is that to come to order?
It is. We're coming to order.
Yeah.
Right on dot, right on the time. It's 9:15.
Yes, sir.
How are you guys doing? I'm Scott from International Computer Solutions, your friendly computer helper. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 and discuss the tech topics of the day. And today's topics are going to end up being, I hope, Marco Cruz coming in here and telling us all about solar power and what he can do for us in San Carlos.
When is that?
Well, it's supposed to be any moment now. So I think what we're really doing is we're filling our time with our own topics until he arrives.
Do you have topics today?
No, I don't. I didn't think of anything.
Oh, I made that joke for you. She told me she comes up with your topics.
Really? Well, that's because she always has tech issues I have to solve.
I didn't hear that.
She's going to regret taking pictures later because we're trying to fix her battery issue with her cell phone right now. So probably in an hour she won't be able to use her phone.
Is it an iPhone?
No, it's a Samsung. Samsung with an old battery, I think.
You cursed my phone, so I'm talking about that battery. The i6,
well, yeah.
And I'm experiencing it now, and I haven't even had this phone here.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm wondering, I don't know if anybody knows, I'll call Apple and find out. Is there an Apple store in every cell?
No. There is a... I'm sorry, would you like to...
No, I was just going to say, 2 years ago, I was having a lot of problems with the battery going dead on me down here. And a lot of things are not digital, they're analog, and that will draw your battery power. Because I went home thinking I needed a new battery, but back in the States it was fine.
Yeah, and actually how far away you are from a cell will affect your battery life as well. If you're able to get a signal, but you're a long distance away from the closest cell, it'll crank up your power usage so that it can...
Well, I'm just wondering if the battery is going to have it.
Well, it might be. What we were talking about last week was that an easy way to find out the health of your battery is to download that Apple support app. Apple has provided an app free in their store that you can use to interact with one of their tech support people. So you download that and you just go through their interview thing and it'll collect information about the health of your phone and send it to them, and then they'll analyze it and give you back the results.
I went on Amazon and put it in the battery for my iPhone. It came with the tools and everything, and I put it in.
And if you can hold off, I mean, honestly, I would charge you more than Apple's charging right now. If you can get to an Apple store, it's a $30 exchange on the battery. I would imagine it's still free. I mean, if it's under warranty, if you only had it, did you get it from the Apple store?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, then it should be under warranty.
It is, and I bought an extra year.
Okay, yeah, then the battery's actually free.
Oh, they didn't.
Yeah.
I just haven't, not really, I have to drive to Tucson.
Right, exactly. Well, and it doesn't matter because it's free. It doesn't matter that it's $50 cheaper because it's under warranty. Yeah.
I'm wondering if... No,
Why don't you just write him a letter and tell him that you're in Mexico, and can you send one back to pick one up?
Just call them. I'm going to do that with this Apple app. I guess I could ask.
Yeah, they
explain my situation.
Yeah,
it goes down and it just sucks up my gut. And they suggested I should turn off some things. Oh, I get rid of some stuff on here.
Oh. This is a new phone.
To me.
To you, yeah. Well, I would check out that app. It's the first time that I've been aware of it, but they say that's a very easy way to get information about the health of your phone. Yeah, that's the way I understand it. I haven't actually used the app, but from what I understand is that you're having an interaction with their support team. And so I believe, from what I read, they can do things like set you up with an appointment at a local Apple store. Exactly. So there would be somebody on the other end dealing with your situation in that respect.
One of my Mexican friends told me there is an Apple store in Hermosillo, but I don't know that they might just sell.
Well, they have.
For your phone, not sell. I don't know.
There is a licensed store called the iStore, I think it's called.
That's what you said.
Yeah, and they sell all Apple products and more. And I'm not certain whether they can. I think they can do warranty work, but I would question whether they could do it on something that was bought in the United States.
That's what I'm wondering.
In Mexico.
I'll ask them.
Does anybody know about the iStore in Hermosillo? Has anybody had to use them for anything? All I know is it's very expensive. Every time I've been in there, I've just been underwhelmed by the amount of expense it is. Well, maybe it's too early.
Tomorrow's.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow's next.
So, do we have any questions or topics that have been brought? Hello, Mike.
Do you know the internet situation at Playa Blanca?
At Playa Blanca. Well, you had mentioned something like that to me, and I'm not sure how they're doing things
okay.
now.
Yeah.
I would imagine, though, if there is Wi-Fi throughout the establishment, then that's got to be one feed that's feeding everybody.
So they're all sharing, probably. Right.
With the exception
of individual. Each unit having its own, probably all shared.
Yeah, it's probably one shared trunk line, and they could get like 100 megabit feed, I believe, out there that could feed the whole establishment. But I would suspect everything's going through the same feed. And then the exception would be any residents, anybody that's living there full time. They could probably hire a phone line and have their own internet. But I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I have an answer to the Apple store in Hermosillo.
Oh, great.
It isn't an Apple retail store. It is in Mexico City.
Right.
Thank you.
So it would be like going to a third-party reseller.
That's what the iStore is, yeah.
I won't mess with it. I'll take it. Maybe they'll mail me a
But the iStore, Judy, did you happen to see if they were licensed repairer?
I can look.
Warranty.
What's it called? iStore.
iStore, yeah. Because it seems like they would need to be if they're selling Apple products. I know I looked into being a reseller of Apple products many years ago, and that was what you were also setting up to be, was to take in warranty work. Oh, iShop. iShop,
yeah,
with the iStore.
Galleria.
Yes, it's in the Galleria.
Uh-huh.
So it's iShop is the name?
That's what it was saying.
Okay. Yes, Mike.
Back to that one again. The unit you had here last week that you were going to install?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Haven't installed it yet. Okay. I've actually got an appointment after this to go.
Would something like that work for individual units out in Playa Blanca?
Maybe. I would imagine it would require a lot of distribution.
Okay. So the other thing would be to use the extender that runs the electrical system.
Yeah, that would be an option too. In a construction like Playa Blanca, we might find that there's a lot of sheetrock in there, and it may not be an issue to get signals. It would probably be more a matter of running like one Ethernet cable into strategic locations and putting an access point at those locations. And then, like, a home user might use what I showed you to yeah. fill up their home with that Wi-Fi, to rebroadcast that Wi-Fi in their home. Or their apartment, their condo.
If anybody needs Spanish converted to English, I've bought a OCR program that really works nice.
So you're able to scan it, and it'll go right into a translate?
No, I have to scan it, put it in a Word document, and the Word document is translated.
Oh, okay. All right, but it's an OCR program. So we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago.
Google
with
Translate can do what? Not to a document.
I can do a whole document, PDF documents, or JPEGs, or
The OCR software. So this is what Chester is referring to, is this software that can take a picture and turn it into text. Yeah. So you can.
Well, you can do that with Google Translate, but the phone is so small.
No, but in Google Translate, you have an idea. No.
Well, you can copy and paste it in there.
You can take a picture.
Oh, there's a camera in there.
You can take a picture.
You can take a picture. I didn't know that.
Wait, can you paste the picture in to translate that?
Not on this, I can't. But I don't know if I could.
Sure. I know you can take it, but I'm thinking that if you've got something like a PDF, can you drop that into translate and have it do OCR on it?
I don't know how I would do that on here.
Yeah, it can be pages long.
You can. I can. Oh, maybe I can take a picture with it. There's the camera, and then you can send it.
Yeah.
A little sensor. I'll play around with it.
Yeah, I've never used it like that. I wonder if when you're using the camera, if you have the option to go to your gallery. Because if that's the case, then you could just use any picture you have, even a scan.
Well, that's what we copy. That's in Spanish.
Yeah.
And then put it into my Spanish dick. Yeah.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Well, such a
I did not come here looking for Spanish dick.
As a dictionary.
Speaking of Spanish, if anybody wants to learn.
Oh, dick!
Dictionary.
I have an app called Talking Spanish Translation.
Translation pops up.
Talking, yeah.
It's not great.
But is this a copy and paste of text?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that sounds very familiar to using Google Translate. Ed, what were you saying back there?
Anybody interested in learning Spanish? My wife just started her Thursday class at San Carlos Community Church, 3:30.
Thursdays at 3:30.
San Carlos Community Church is just a donation only. It's no set fee or.
Ed, what's your wife's name again?
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Doctora Hudson, if you want to know the truth.
Doctora Hudson. Excellent. Excellent. So shameless plug for Ed's wife, Jennifer.
How much does advertising cost at the community club?
Yeah, well, you get a percentage of what I get. How's that sound?
Okay.
Everything's for free.
I have a question. What's happened to Viva San Carlos? Are they back up or are they not back up?
Oh, they're back up. Yeah. They've not been there.
They never dropped.
They never went down. Uh-uh. Where's those tone?
George sent out a message directing us to sancarlosboard.com. Does that mean vivasancarlos.mx is no longer working?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I never changed anything.
Hmm. I didn't either because I was already going to San Carlos.
That's how I go.
Oh, okay. Probably
I just tried on the tablet. Nothing. Yeah. I didn't get anything.
Oh. There were two ways to get to the before, and one of them still works. It's San Carlos before.
Oh, that's what it must be.
Yeah, you can't find the host. If you do vivasancarlos.com.mx, it doesn't work. It's gone.
Yeah, or .mx, is that gone too?
Yeah. Google it. It comes up.
Okay, but the board is still there. It's sancarlosboard.com.
Yes.
And it's free now.
And it's free now. They've got some patrons.
Patrons.
So, any other questions, topics? Yeah, Ed.
I got a Kindle Fire HD 10, one of the newer versions. I got it in December.
Por favor.
La taza más. Gracias.
Go ahead, Ed. You got a new Kindle HD Fire
10.
10.
And it seems to buffer a lot. I've got good, you know.
You've got good internet, but it just seems to be buffering a lot.
Yep.
I don't know. Have you looked on the internet to see if that's something to expect from that?
Seems to be a common occurrence, it seems like.
With that equipment.
Any resolution to the problem.
So people are actually reporting this problem with this particular... That's a good flag that if you're looking at this product. Knowing the way Amazon does things, I would imagine it'll be resolved with a software update in the future. But right now, you've got the buffer. Is it with everything you do? Like
Mainly with YouTube.
YouTube.
They said something about going in and turning off the HD on YouTube. I don't see any...
Turning off the HD?
Yeah.
I wonder if you're... since YouTube has so much higher than HD content out there, I wonder if it's seeing your device and just cranking up the quality.
Maybe.
I know on my internet connection, somebody streaming 4K is the difference between all of us enjoying YouTube or just one person enjoying YouTube. Has anybody got an opinion on the car in space? You guys pay attention to that?
I have no issue with that.
I was going to say, it's getting great gas mileage being a hybrid, being an electric car.
As amazing as that is, I think the more amazing thing is to have the two boosters come back to the pad and land simultaneously.
That's what got me, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was having a lot of trouble believing this is a true story. It's the mass reporting on it that's lulling me into the belief this is a true story. I'm ready to accept it.
We're missing Bob and his conspiracy.
That's right.
We should have fun with that.
Well, the way they landed in Houston did look like a Hollywood make-believe.
Right. Well, and even the high definition video shot from behind out at the planet Earth looks like some Photoshop game that's been put together. Well, I think the only thing better than a car orbiting us is that what brought the boring company raising all that money by selling 10,000 flamethrowers. All the same guy, right? The same guy that just launched a car into space has been selling flamethrowers to raise money for a company to drill holes through the earth to make transportation easier. Well, he's only concerned about San Francisco to LA. I'm sure it's his commute that he's thinking about when he's coming up with these ideas.
Does he realize there's a fault line there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I might have mentioned this before, Elon Musk. I think these are his like pondering thoughts. These aren't his big thoughts. Like his big thoughts are to get to Mars, but he's sitting in the car on his way from LA to San Francisco going, God, I wish I could get there faster. What could I do to make this fast? I bet I could go underground.
What happened to his
Lear?
His Lear jet.
Oh.
I'm surprised he doesn't have one.
Right. Playing the whole Tony Stark.
Doesn't matter.
I was just, I saw that, and I thought, what if that's your terrestrials? What are they going to do when they see a car?
How do they get that, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to pull it over for speeding.
Yeah, they may.
Right. Well, it harkens back to the beginning of MTV and of heavy metal. It's classic heavy metal. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that animation movie, but that's how you start out. You start out in a Corvette in a spacesuit. You drive it all the way down to the planet. It's really ripe imagery for my generation. We just totally right. That's why it's hard to believe it's true. Because it looks like an album cover.
Okay, Marco Cruz just got here.
Hey, excellent. Marco's here.
Morning.
Hi.
Welcome, Marco. Hey, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we're excited to listen to you talk.
Great.
I wrote a little intro to you on our blog. I was telling people that you are the local solar power guy, that you're also an exceptional electrician that can help us with our general electrical installations.
Absolutely.
And air conditioning.
And air conditioning.
But he's also been schooled in solar panel, and he is very familiar with this program to sell power back to the CFE. He can help turn each one of your houses into a power plant. And if you've got something, he was talking last Thursday and I missed it. So,
yes.
So for my benefit, you could just do the Thursday presentation if you want.
Got it right here.
Oh, great.
I actually had it on a PowerPoint, but you know, I don't have a projector, so I didn't bring that. We're going to do it old-fashioned way.
That's awesome. We'll take it away.
Well, Scott mentioned, my name is Marco Cruz. I'm the owner of Centergy Solar, AC, and Heating. A few of you here are already clients of mine. It's good to see you. And yes, I am into solar. Solar is still on the ground floor in Mexico, unlike it is in developed countries like the U.S. and many parts of Europe. But it's picking up. All the mechanisms for solar development are now in place in Mexico. Ever since the energy reform passed in the Mexican law in 2013, the CFE has been developing methods to make it simpler for the normal person to get interconnected to the grid and start producing electrical power from their own little micro plants at home, okay? It is now a simple process to get that done. It can take, you know, a few weeks. It's still the CFE. It's still a big monster, state owned. So that's all I need to say about that, right? But normally within a month, you can have your plant up and running, and you can be producing power that you can use. So I don't stray from my program. I'm gonna grab my presentation here. I'm gonna open it up to questions at the end of the presentation. Okay, so. If any questions come up, please keep them in the back of your head or write them down, and I'll be happy to address them at the end. What is solar energy? It's basically capturing the sun's rays and turning it into electrical energy. As light photons hit the cells on a solar panel, an electrical reaction happens. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but basically a current starts flowing through all the cells on a panel, and it turns into readable amperage that in turn becomes watts. And watts is what we want, you know. Watts is what your appliances use at home, your ACs, your blenders, and all that. What are the components of a solar installation? Solar modules, number one, or solar panels. They come in different sizes. A few years back, the most common ones were 250 watts or 270. Nowadays, they're coming out with 375-watt panels that are not much bigger than the old 270s. So they're becoming much more powerful in a more compact space. Again, the panels are made of cells, normally 60 cells or 72, and those cells are basically made of sand, so silica, which is the same thing that most semiconductors for electronics are made, okay? All your transistors inside your computers, it's all made out of sand. Same thing with panels. Why is that important? Because there's no moving parts. Panels don't have any moving parts. They just sit there, capture the sun's rays during the daylight hours, and then they shut down at night. So that's really all they do. They normally come with 25-year warranties from the manufacturer. That normally has to do with defects on a manufacture process, okay? They do come with a 20-year warranty on production. What does that mean? That the manufacturer says, this panel will produce at least 80% of its output by year 20. So if it's a, for example, to make it simple, if it's a 100-watt panel, by year 20, it should still be producing 80 watts. So it's a reliable technology that's been around for many years. It's not new. It's proven. It's reliable. And people can expect it to be doing what it's supposed to many years into the installation. Number two is mounting structure. The mounting structure basically supports the solar panel, and it gives it the right inclination and the right orientation into the sun. Normally, in this part of the world, most panels are orientated to south, true south, and they're given different inclinations depending on what the client wants to do. It can vary anywhere from 10 degrees up to 30 degrees, depending if you want to produce more in the summer, if you want to produce more in the winter, or if you just want an average production all year round. There are mounting structures that are adjustable. There are mounting structures that can follow the sun's path and adjust inclination, but all that's very fancy stuff. All that is expensive stuff that mostly gets used in generating farms, you know, that are there as a business itself. The mounting structures that get used on residences are usually fixed mounting structures. They always point in the same direction, and they're always at the same angle. Number three, the inverter. The inverter converts direct current, which is what gets produced at the panels, into alternate current. That's the current that we use at home. All of our appliances use that. Unless you're out in the boonies and you have a trailer or a cabin and you have direct current appliances, but that's a whole different animal. For here, we need an inverter that converts that direct current into AC current, and the inverter does that for us. Number four, the bidirectional meter. That's the last component of a solar array. The bidirectional meter gets provided by the CFE. There's no cost for it. They used to charge about $500 when they first started with this, but now it's free. It's part of the application process. The bidirectional meter reads both what you consume from the CFE and what you produce from your own solar panels. And at the end of the billing period, they do a balance, and you end up paying the difference, or only pay the basic charges, such as Mr. Zved is here, that last year for many, many months, all he paid was 142 pesos. That covers your interconnection fee, which you have to pay whether you use power or not, and that pays your public lighting tax, which we all pay. It's the DAP on the CFE receipt. If you look at the breakdown, you'll see DAP, D-A-P. That's what that means, and that's about 90 pesos. So you can design a system that can keep you at the low end, only pay either the cheap kilowatt hours or just the basic fees. And I'll talk more about Jim's case, because I used him as a case study for my presentation on Thursday, so I've got some numbers here that I want to show a little bit later on. So what happens to excess production? Excuse me, I'm going to have a drink of water because my mouth is dry. What happens to excess production from the solar installation? The CFE provides two avenues, okay, for that. Number one, which has been in effect for a good 2 years, is any excess production you have will be saved for you for 365 days. And that's mobile days, that's not a calendar year. If you produce excess production today, you have 365 days ahead of you to use it. If you produce it tomorrow, you have 365 days from tomorrow. And that has been in effect for a while. But very recently, the CFE has approved a new scheme by which they're going to send out a check at the end of the year for any excess production. As provided that you have an RFC number. What's an RFC number? It's a taxpayer ID number, if you will. It's your Social Security. It's for tax purposes. The CFE says, okay, I'm going to give you a check. I need to tell the Hacienda, the IRS here in Mexico, I need to tell them who I gave that check to. And then it's your job to declare it to Hacienda. But let's keep in mind that most residential installations are not going to be in the business of selling power, although that is a possibility now, and I will speak to that effect in a minute. But most residential installations, the aim is to lower your bill. The aim is not to pay any more expensive kilowatt hours. Some of you may know that we have a stepped charging system here in Mexico. They give you a small allotment of basic kilowatt hours, and then once you use those, you have an intermediate kilowatt hour, which is a little more expensive, and then you have the expensive kilowatt hours, which cost four times more than the basic. So any solar installation will be designed in order to keep you from paying four times as much for the same thing, for 1 kilowatt hour, which is what you can charge for. That is the unit of measure on the electrical bill. Both options are useful for seasonal electrical loads, such as here. You could have a solar installation producing for you more than you need in the winter, have it being banked by the CFE through your bidirectional meter. That's how you keep track of it. The CFE uses that power that you produce. They'll use it, they'll send it somewhere else to another house. So they're in effect benefiting from it, and you're getting credit for it. When May rolls around, those of you that are full-timers, when May rolls around, you start reaping the benefits, because those first few billing periods, they're going to be low, because they're first going to use the power that you have banked, and then they're going to start charging you for whatever difference, okay? Depending on the size of the installation, you may not pay anything all year. Those of you that are only here in the winter, well, you can design a smaller system that doesn't produce as much excess, but that will help you offset the power. Again, you're gone in the summer. The summer is when we have the most radiance, meaning the most production of power. You can bank all that, and then when you get here in what do you guys get here? I forget. When you get here in October, you don't have an electrical bill. You don't have an electrical bill to pay, except the basic charges like I described, rather than 3, 4, 5, 6, 10,000 pesos. You know, I've seen those bills. I've seen bills as high as 17,000 pesos. Oh, wow. And why is that? Because of excess kilowatt hours. You have an expensive kilowatt hour rate that adds up very, very quickly, especially when you're turning on those heaters on the mini splits, or when you're turning on the actual AC in the summer, or when the pool is working 8 hours a day. You know, that's when you jump into those expensive kilowatt hours. Okay, so I mentioned the kilowatt hours a lot. Let me just give you figures. Basic kilowatt hours, you get 150 each billing period. That's nothing. 150. Once you, and those cost, the new price, by the way, they went up this year. The new cost is about 0.7 pesos per kilowatt hour. That's the basic rate. After you use those first 150, you jump into the intermediate kilowatt hour rate. That's 0.9 pesos per kilowatt hour. Once you, and you get 300 of those, okay? So 150 plus 300, that's 450. Once you go over those 450, you're having fun now. You're into the excess kilowatt hours, and you're going to pay 2.8 pesos per kilowatt hour, okay? That's where the bill goes like this. After that, it's nice. You know, it's like, you know, a step increase if you were to see a graph. But once you get into excess, it goes like this very, very quickly. So that's what a solar installation can do for you. What are the different types of solar installations? First, we have the grid-tied or interconnected. That's the most common type of installation. And the one that I've done most in this area. Basically, you have panels, you have an inverter, you have a bidirectional meter, and you connect yourself to the utilities grid. You, in essence, become a producer of power, so you need that power to go somewhere when you're not using it. And the grid becomes your battery, in essence. A grid-tied system does not need batteries, unless you want to use them for backup. That's a different topic. I'll touch upon it in a second. A grid-tied installation is the simplest type of installation, and it is the cheapest because it does not entail batteries. Then we have the autonomous battery-based type of installation. Some of you might have seen an Astrid's Facebook that she has now moved into her new ranch. This is the horse ranch. She is about half a kilometer from the utilities grid, and they wanted to charge her almost $500,000 just to put posts. They didn't even include the transformer or the labor. So she called me, and we designed a 5,000-watt solar installation for her. This is autonomous. This is completely off the grid. It uses a little bit different equipment. It is more expensive, and mainly because of the batteries. Because you need that power that's being produced during the day to be stored somewhere to be able to use it at night when there's no sun shining. So that is the second kind. And then you have a third kind of setup, which is a multi-mode setup. A multi-mode setup is a combination of both. You could be connected to the grid, and you could have batteries as backup, you could have a generator as backup, you could have a wind turbine producing electricity, and you could have panels. This system is a smart system. It can decide where to draw power from and what to do. It's fully programmable. In some states in the U.S., I know you have peak hours during which you pay more money for the electricity, right? At certain hours of the day when most people start turning on their loads. Maybe when you get from work and start turning in the dryers and the TVs and start actually getting work done at home, those become peak hours. And the utility companies decided that they need to charge more during that time. Well, what multi-mode system could do for you is you could store your power and your batteries, and you can program it to say, okay, at 5 p.m., I want you to send the battery power to the house because I don't want to use any of that utility power because it's expensive. My power is cheaper. So for 2 hours, you may use your battery power, and then the machine switches over to utility. So it's a smart system, and it has advantages. It's considerably more expensive, and that's something that most people would do, but it's there and it's available, and it works beautifully. I put my hands on systems like that, and they're state of the art. They're very, very nice systems. What is the application process for a solar installation? Okay, number one, you need to have your installation done by a certified solar company or technician. Number two, that technician needs to file an application for you on your behalf with the CFE. This is once the installation is done. It can't be before. Once the installation is done, the company, the technician, turns in the application to the CFE. They make sure that the application is complete, that technical data for all the equipment has been turned in, that a electrical diagram has been turned in, pictures, latitude and longitude, references of the house, expected production, annual production of electricity. So once this binder is turned into the CFE, the gears start turning, okay? After that process, the CFE sends a verifier, like an inspector, if you will, to your house, and the installer has to be there too. The installer does like a little tour of the installation, shows the equipment, and answers any question that the verifier might have. The verifier also asks for a battery of test to be performed right there in front of him. He'll say, turn on the inverter, turn the switch on, put it on this mode, turn it off, and he's going to look for safety features that should be included in that inverter. And hopefully, if you're solar guy knows what he's doing. He's installed equipment that's compatible with the CFE rules. After the verifier signs off on that inspection, turns it into the CFE, and then the CFE generates a contract, okay? A contract that's going to be signed by you. You're going to become a generator of electricity, and the CFE is going to be your partner in a sense, okay? The person in charge is going to sign on their side, and you're going to sign saying that you're going to abide by all the rules of interconnection, and that you're not going to mess up their grid, you know, with your equipment. Once that is signed, within a few days, another technician from the CFE will show up at your residence, will remove your old meter and put in a bi-directional meter, at which point you'll be able to turn on your solar array and start producing electricity. How long the whole thing takes? In their CFE rules, 18 days, but a month is a good average. So, you know, some people get impatient, understandably, because you've invested $10,000-$15,000 into something and you want it to produce, and it's ready to produce, and you don't understand why you can't turn it on. Well, it's CFE. It's their rules. It's their show. We just play along with what they say. So far, I haven't had any problems with interconnections. There's been a few kinks about processes. All this solar topic is very new with the CFE. They're developing their own procedures inside, you know, with their personnel. So it's very new. Every day it's developing. So in a way, you have to be patient with them. And really, there's nothing else you can do, because I tried different methods, you know, calling over there angry, and all customers going to get a lawyer, and nobody's going to lose their job over there. Okay? Nobody. So, you know, basically just play by the rules, do everything they ask for, give them little courtesy calls. Hey, how's it going, you know, Mr. So-and-so, how's that going? Oh, yeah, I just sent that over to that other office. Okay, hey, thanks, I appreciate it. Boom. Nothing happens 2 days later. Hey, you know, this. That's kind of how I handle it, and it's worked so far, okay? So 1 month, 1 month after it's done. And an installation can take anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks to be finished, depending on the size and depending on the individual characteristics of your residence, what the roof looks like, if there's any obstacles, the access to the roof, two-story house, one-story house. So 2 to 3 weeks on average. Okay, advantages of solar. Some of you already know the very simple and the most obvious economic advantages. Solar installation can reduce your electrical charges up to 90%, or you can completely reduce them 100%. I don't recommend that. I'll tell you why. Following case study, Mr. Vettis here, he was kind enough to provide me with a set of bills for a full year after we installed the solar, and I already had the information from the year before, because I used that to design the system originally, okay? And I was able to compare. I was able to compare monies regarding electrical charges. In 2016, we spent 19,350 pesos in electricity. In 2017, we spent 4,046 pesos. And out of those 4,000, 3,000 were for 1 month.
Wow.
September, August, you know, the worst month. All the ACs are cranking big time. And in that year, we had, we weren't up and running quite well at the beginning, because he was my first installation. It was a learning curve. You know, I learned a lot with that installation. And we had some issues with equipment, that wasn't compatible. So we had some downtime. Not all 365 days, the array wasn't on that whole time. We had some downtime. So this number for 2017 would probably have looked more like 3,000, I would say, 3,000, 2,500. So he was able to reduce his electrical bill by 15,304 pesos. Okay, it's not nothing to ignore. Another advantage that a solar array can give you, it can insulate you from future changes in electrical rates. Okay, last year the residential rates went up 3%, commercial went up 8%. This year, I haven't even done the math yet because it's so new, but I did notice that the rates for intermediate and basic went up from 0.56 to 0.7. So I gotta figure out but it's gotta be at least 3%, okay? And you can expect this. It's not gonna go the other way, especially because now the CFE has opened up to private investment. The CFE, from being one huge monster, it has become a lot of little monsters, okay? And now the private investors are putting money into the CFE. What does that mean? That a state-owned company that was not concerned with profits, because state-owned companies don't have stockholders, right, is now becoming more a private entity, and it will eventually become fully private. And there's going to be stockholders, people that want to know what's happening with profits, what's happening. So all these subsidies that the government gives us for production of electricity, do any of you know that you get your electricity subsidized? Are you aware of that? Okay. Well, it's a hefty subsidy. The first question that comes to my mind is, how can power generation cost that much? Because if you look at your bill, it might say cost of production 5,000 pesos. Your cost, how much you're going to pay? 1,500. That means that the government's paying 3,500. You say, Jesus, 5,000 pesos for that electricity? That's how much it costs. Why? Because the CFE is an inefficient company. Not, you know, they're by Mexican state-owned company standard, they're okay, but by private-owned companies, they're not. So there's big talk about that subsidy going away. If that subsidy goes away and they start charging us the full cost of production, it's going to be ridiculous the amount of money we're going to pay. It happened with gasoline last year. The subsidy that we were getting on gasoline disappeared. And boom, prices went up, and they keep climbing. And the government says, oh, it's not that it costs more. It's that now you're paying full price. It's not our fault. Okay, that's what's going to happen with electricity. So if you have your own solar array, you're going to insulate yourself from that because you're going to produce most of your electricity, and you're not going to care. You'll be like, oh yeah, I got to pay a few more pesos. That's fine. Okay. Another advantage, increased property value. I've spoken to several real estate people here in San Carlos, and they all seem to agree that a house that has solar panels already installed and working and has a track record that's able to show how much they've been able to save, it's a more attractive property than one that doesn't. It might be a selling point that'll get your house sold quicker if you decide to sell. Or if you decide to inherit it to a children or family member, the house is going to work. It's going to be worth more money. It's not money that you're throwing away. And lastly, environmental factors. Some people care about this. Some people don't. But the fact is that for every kilowatt, 1 kilowatt equals 1,000 watts. For every kilowatt of solar installed, if you had 250-watt panels, that would equal to 4 panels. So for every 4 panels that you had installed in your house, you would prevent 1.5 tons of CO2 from being dumped into the environment. That's how much CO2 one kilowatt of panels, or 1 kilowatt produced by fossil fuels, dumps into the environment. So that's, you put your grain of salt into your little grain into the effort to slow down the situation that's going on with fossil fuels and fossil fuel emissions. Solar radiance in Sonora. Guaymas is tied with La Paz for the number one spot in peak solar hours in Mexico. Here we have 6 to 7 peak solar hours in a day, depending on the season. What that means is during the day, the panels begin producing right at sunup, you know, 6, 7 a.m., the panels turn on and start producing little power because the angle of the sun is very low in the sky, you know, so they don't produce very much. But as that sun starts hitting more perpendicular, more in front of that panel, the amperage goes up, the power goes up. So in a day, we have here in Guaymas 6 to 7 hours that we get peak solar production. And we're number one, tied with La Paz, all the rest of the country. To put it in perspective, Germany, who has the most solar panels installed with, let me see if I got that number. They have 3.5 to 4 peak solar hours. Okay, we have 6 to 7. They have 3.5 to 4 peak solar hours. They have the most solar installed, 38.2 billion watts of solar, and they produce 27% of their country's electrical needs with that installation. And they have a goal to produce 75% by way of solar by year 2050. And from what I've read, they're well in line to achieve that goal. So what about hurricanes? I know a lot of people have asked me this in the park. So what's going to happen with my panels if we get a hurricane? Well, you know, there's provisions for that. Most solar companies use prefabricated mounting systems that are provided by the vendors who sell us the solar panels and the inverters. And they have turnkey, easy systems. I just call and say, hey, I'm going to install 20 panels. Send me the mounting structure. And then send me a box with everything prefabricated, and all I have to do is bolt it and build it like a puzzle, okay? Those systems are only guaranteed up to 120 kilometer per hour wind, okay, by the manufacturer. About a year ago, what did we get? 150 kilometer gusts, right? Or 100 miles, you know. That's what we got in the last decent storm that we had. So ever since I started, I decided that I'm going to custom build all my mounting structures. I use 2-inch heavy gauge galvanized steel, you know, to prevent rusting. I use heavy anchoring. I do a lot of redundancy to make sure that my structures are going to withstand something strong. How strong? It's an unknown. I'd be lying if I tell you, oh, it's going to withstand a class 2 or a class 3. I'm at least trying to make sure that I can, that my panels will be there at 150 kilometer winds, which seems to be kind of a maximum, except when we had a few hurricanes back. So that's one solution. Another solution, solar panels can be easily dismounted, you know, with the right tools, can be very quickly dismounted. So hurricanes we're able to see ahead of time, you know, they're not like earthquakes, you know. We know ahead of time. George Gatsby keeps us, you know, informed of when a hurricane is on the horizon, and we're able to follow it, and we know the trajectory, and if we see it that it's getting close, and if we see that it's a monster one, you know, we're gonna get on that roof and take those panels off, put them in the garage, put them in your house, and you'll be able to ensure that you protect your investment. They're worth a sizable amount of money, so it's worth the extra effort. And what I'm doing is developing protocols that I'm going to provide to my customers in order to know what to do and at what point to do it. And those are the two things that I've come up with. I'm also in talks with a structuralist engineer and see if we can develop a system that can be put flat on a roof, you know, with minimal effort, to be able to lay it flat on the roof and put some pins and, you know, let it ride out the storm. But that's something that I don't have ready. So far, custom build, custom welded, heavily anchored. In worst case scenario, take those panels off of that roof. What is the ideal size for a solar installation? A solar installation is determined by three factors. Number one, the goal of the client. What does the client want to do? Some people say, oh, I want to slash my bill in half. Okay, we can talk about that. Some people, after I explain to them the step charging system of the CFE and the different rates that you get, especially the excess kilowatt hour, it becomes very obvious to them that all they want is not to pay that excess kilowatt hour. They don't mind paying the 0.7 pesos or the 0.9, because that's only going to add up to a few hundred pesos in the billing period. They say to me, Marco, design a system that's going to keep me of those excess kilowatt hours all year. I don't ever want to pay an excess kilowatt hour. Okay, so that's, I grab their bills, I put it into my computer, and it spits out an analysis that tells me how many panels and how much it costs. Number two, available space. Okay, client might say, well, I don't want to pay 50,000 pesos of electricity anymore. And if they only have a small house, not enough roof space, or if they don't have enough room around their house to be able to build a carport and cover it with solar panels, we're limited. We won't be able to do that. But I haven't encountered a situation yet where space is a problem. But it is a determining factor. And number three, budget. You know, how much money does the client want to invest in solar? What is the return on investment for a solar installation? The return on investment on a residential solar installation hovers between 6 to 7 years. Solar panels can last up to 30 years. Like I mentioned, they come with 25-year warranties, but there's a lot of installations out there that were installed 30 years ago and they're still producing. But a nice round number that we can use is 20 to 25, you know, just to be conservative. So you invest something, you invest $10,000, you'll have that money back by year 7. You already paid for that. That solar installation is paid for, and it's going to keep producing for another 13, 14, 18 years, okay? And how much money is that going to save you? Because first you paid first it paid itself, now it's still producing, and now you're keeping money in your pocket rather than giving it to the CFE. And it can literally save you thousands of dollars over the life of that system. On a commercial installation, the return on the investment is 3 to 4 years, a lot quicker. Why? Because the commercial rate is 4 pesos per kilowatt hour. Excess is 2.8, commercial is 4. In commercial, they don't get any cheap kilowatt hours. They always pay the same rate, regardless if they use 1 kilowatt hour or 3,000 in a billing period. They always pay those 4 pesos. They don't get any summer rates. They don't get any breaks. This business right here, unless they have their own transformer, which is a different situation, they're paying a lot of money. And a lot of the small businesses in San Carlos and Guaymas are paying a lot of money for electricity. And if they were to invest in solar, by year 3.5, maybe 4, they would recover that money. So if solar is a good idea for residential, it's an even a better idea for commercial. Rental properties. Some of you rent your house, when you're gone for weekends or for long term through real estate companies. We know that renters, you know, are not too concerned about electricity savings, right? They'll leave the ACs on, so when they come back, the house is nice and cool, right? The so the owner ends up footing the bill for that. If you have your solar generating plant, you can buffer those costs. If you have long-term renters, you can include in the price of the rent the electricity. And instead of them paying the electricity to the CFE, they pay it to you. So they can make your money that way.
Marco, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yes.
We are reaching the end of our regular meeting.
I'm done.
And I'm my closing. Battery, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to take some video of you with my phone, and I'm hoping this is a good time for us to give you some questions.
Absolutely. Well, in a nutshell, solar is a field both for those as homeowners, so they can keep more money in their pockets. It's cheaper, and all the mechanisms are now in place so people can connect without too much pain. And I'll open it up for questions.
First of all, thanks for the presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Marco.
My only question left is, Astrid's ranch, our horse farm out here,
yeah.
Does she have no CFE bill at all now?
No.
She has none?
She doesn't have a contract with the CFE. She's not connected. So physically, it's impossible for her to connect unless she wants to spend a lot of money.
Right. Okay.
Because the grid stops half a kilometer from the ranch.
Completely independent.
How long do you expect her batteries to have a good life?
Those batteries are Trojan solar batteries. Trojan has a good record. I would expect those batteries to last about 7 years. There's better batteries out there, but considerably more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's batteries that can last 10, 15 years, but they're considerably more expensive, and the cost just becomes, it doesn't become a good cost-benefit formula, if you will. And the Trojans are a good formula. She's got 16 of them. Yes.
Oh, and that's just what I was going to ask.
Yeah. She's got 16, 320 amp hours, 6 volts for each of them, and they're all, you know, tied in series and parallel, you know, understand that.
When you were talking about that, the Club Deportivo,
yeah.
When you're doing the same thing, you mentioned the transformer had blown up.
Did you have a transformer blow up?
Or
what was it that blew up in your house?
Oh, the MUFA.
The MUFA.
My meter.
During that time, did you still have electricity?
No, but the meter blew up because the connections got loose, the CFE, when they connected it, it was moving, so it melted my meter, so in which case we ran the generator for a little bit, and he came over and jumped me.
That's why I was curious if you were able to utilize the solar after, if it was a
he can answer that better than I can.
Okay.
A grid-tight system, which is what he has. Has a safety feature. This is an international safety feature. All inverters that are grid tied, if the grid is not present, if a line goes down, the solar array turns off.
Okay.
Because you don't want power being generated and getting into the grid because it'll kill somebody. The CFE disconnects their fuses, thinking, okay, we're safe. We can. We can work on the line,
and
you don't want your power to go into the grid. But the multi-mode systems are smart enough that can produce power and keep it in your house.
Okay.
Equipment is available.
Right.
But a normal grid-tied inverter will turn off, and it's supposed to do that. Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you tied any wind generators in?
No, I have not.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I know that it's a possibility, but I have not installed any wind generators at all or tied them into a version yet.
Yeah. They're coming along pretty good.
Yes. Great. Well, if there's no more questions, thank you again.
Well, I wanted to ask you, the United States is in process of putting higher tariffs on solar technology. Will that affect anything you're doing in your costs?
No. That 30% that's going to be added to solar being brought into the U.S. is not going to affect me or any of the Mexican companies, because most of the stuff we get it from outside the U.S. For example, most solar panels are fabricated in China. Please don't let that scare you, because there's no other choice, okay? Canadian solar made in China, JA Solar from Germany made in China. So these are quality products that are manufactured under the parent's company technical specs and quality. So they're top-of-the-line equipment. But it comes mostly from China on a boat. So it comes directly to Mexico. It bypasses the U.S. It's not going to affect us. It's going to affect solar companies in the U.S. quite a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like we're about to be in a position where we can get cheaper solar energy in Mexico than we can in the United States.
Well, we could even before the tariffs.
Really?
Because the prices in the U.S., a watt of solar installation will cost you anywhere from $3 to almost $4, one watt. Okay, so times 1,000 for four panels, it could be anywhere from $3,500 to $4,000. Okay, over here, my price, which is the going price of this region, is anywhere from $2 to $2.20, depending on the type of installation. So even before the tariffs, we were way cheaper.
Yes. In Flagstaff, we had a completely solar home.
Sure.
It was more expensive then in the 70s than it is now down here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely. In the last 3 years, in the last 3 years alone, the prices of solar panels and inverters have gone down a lot. So,
I've just got two more questions. One is the difference in batteries. Are you providing the different batteries?
I am a rep for U.S. battery systems in the U.S.
I'm thinking specifically the Powerwall stuff that Tesla is doing.
Tesla.
Yeah.
I have not researched that option.
Okay.
But it's one of the things that I want to do. I want to get my hands on a Powerwall. I want to get my hands on solar tiles. You know,
yeah.
But there's a huge waiting list for that. And last I read a few months back, they haven't even started producing it. And you had to spend $5,000 to get on a list.
Wow.
List.
Wow.
Okay? So you still have to pay for the solar tiles, and they still have to produce them and give them to all those customers that are in front of you. So it's a wonderful product. I mean, Tesla is, you know, Elon Musk is my hero. and Tesla's doing wonderful things. I wish I could get my hands on an electric car, you know. But it's right now, as many of you know, in Guaymas, in this region, you do things with what's available. You know, I spent many years in the U.S. I know the possibilities for tools. I know the possibilities for materials, and it's very frustrating not to be able to get all those goodies that I need. So what do? Well, I'll call Hermosillo, I'll go to Obregón, and get what they have, which is a little better than what's here. But getting my hands on more sophisticated stuff is going to be something that's going to take a little time. But I plan to do it.
Well, then my other question was, how do you feel about the solar inverter providing clean electricity in the house versus what we're getting from the CFE as far as spikes and surges and brownouts? Just your opinion of, like, are we better protected with a solar inverter than we would be on the CFE?
Well, you got to keep in mind that during the day when your solar array is producing, if it's producing enough power for all your loads, all your power is going to come from the solar, because the voltage from the inverter is higher than the voltage coming from the grid. It's like two hoses of water pushing into one outlet. One is stronger, so it wins.
Okay.
The other one stays there. Okay? That's the same. This is our grid. This is our inverter. This is your load. This is your house. So this power goes this way. If any power is not being used here, it goes to the grid. If more power is being used here than it was coming this way, then you get some from here and some from here. So there's some point where the power is just going to come from your inverter. In that case, the voltage is going to be absolutely
Say beautiful.
It's not going to be consistent. It's not going to fluctuate. It's not going to hurt your equipment, you know. But there will be a combination, okay? Unless you have an autonomous system where all your power always comes from the inverter, from your batteries, there's no question. It's clean. It's a clean sine wave. The noises, harmonic noise, what they call, are very low. So, yes,
yeah.
I love it.
It's,
what can I say? You know, when I first turn on systems and I see them generate, I absolutely love it because I'm passionate about the subject. I depend on it, you know, for well-being for my family. But I'm also happy that I got into that because before, I still do the AC. You all know that. But the AC is kind of on the other spectrum. AC hurts the environment. You know, gases kill the ozone layer. A lot of heat generation from condensers, from you having your house cool, you're heating the environment. So I was on the wrong side of things. And now I feel like I'm on the right side, and I'm doing a combination of both. Hopefully one day I'll just be over here.
That's neat. You found your neutral footprint. You can
exactly.
Offset yourself. Does anybody else? Oh, Mike, you have a question for Marco?
Have you done any on houses that are on the water like ours? We're really close to the water. I'm concerned
what?
About
salt. The closest to the water is over here on Creston, which is half a block from the water, behind Boyas Burgers, the burger joint.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest that I've got to the water. I have not done one that is waterfront like yours.
Maggie's concerned, I just heard her say, was salt.
Salt and
salt
rocks.
From the water.
We get rocks.
Rocks, yeah.
Well, solar panels are built very heftily. If you're on the water side, certainly if water splashes on the panels, I highly would recommend that water gets hosed down. Okay? The dew from the mornings and stuff, that's not so much an issue. But actual water coming up over your roof and wetting those panels, that could be a problem if it doesn't get pushed down. You know, I remember when I first bought my first ATV, I went to the beach and I was, you know, doing things in the water. And I didn't think of it. And 4 days later, I went into my garage and there was rust. And I did not believe it, what it did to my brand new ATV. So salt water is a problem. Most panels, manufacturers say that panels can handle hail bolts this big and not break because it's very thick glass. But rocks, man, I don't know. You'd have to develop some. You'd have to put the panels as far back as you could. And maybe put some kind of a little small wall that would catch anything. So it'd be a special situation.
Yeah.
But no, I have not installed it.
Maggie's question made me think of one more that I was curious about is maintaining the panels. What responsibility do you take for the panels you install, and what responsibility would a homeowner need to take for the panels, like washing and...
I normally recommend to my clients how often those panels should be cleaned. Water, hose and water, a squeegee with a long handle, squeeze it down, you're done.
I could do that
if I come up with some kind of agreement with a client. Some clients want me to do that.
Yeah,
some clients go right at it or have their in-house person go up. But all I do is I recommend what needs to be done, and I offer the service.
Okay.
Obviously, my service is more expensive than if they use a different person. Having said that, a solar array is a generating plant, okay? There's power. There's power present. As long as the sun's shining, there's power present. So it's normally very safe, but it needs to be said that it is a generating plant. And if you're touching it and putting your hands on it, there's always a slim chance that an accident might happen. That's why some people prefer to, hey, Marco,
please take care of it. And I, you know, I send one of my guys that know what they're doing.
Yeah. As far as how many times a year?
That varies. That varies depending on the location. Astrid, out there on the ranch, she's having to clean them every 2 weeks. Because there's so much dust out there. She'll clean them, and a week later, man, they'll be just caked on dust. Wow. And that affects production. That film of dust, the thicker it is, the less power it's going to produce. Jim, what are we doing? 3 months with you?
Three times a year.
Not very much dust where he lives, even though he lives in Ranchitos. I suppose because he's so high up, most of the dust stays down.
Rain, so that takes care of a lot.
Rain in the summer, you know, will wash out a lot of it. So manufacturers claim that their surfaces are very, you know, they can be just washed with rain. Manufacturers claim that, but my experience is that you actually have to get up there and do some scrubbing. But the maintenance is minimal. I recommend that once a year we do an actual inspection, check for roof wires, fraying on wires, check the mounting system, make sure that everything's still perfectly anchored, check the inverter, clean the inverter, do a few tests, make sure that everything's up and running. That's what I recommend once a year.
At least once a year.
That's done, obviously, by me.
Excellent. Does anybody else have any more questions for Marco?
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Marco. Well, that's it. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson. That's Marco Cruz. If you need computer help or electric help, this was the meeting to be at. You guys have a good week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
The measurements are different down here.